This passage, John 15, 1 to 17, is in the context of Jesus spending the last week with his disciples before he goes to the cross. It's the context in which Jesus had just finished performing the highest, we call, miracle, resurrecting Lazarus. Remember, Lazarus had died for 3 days. 4 days, he is in the tomb. He came back to life thanks to Jesus Christ. And we learned that instead of saying kumbaya, everybody's so happy about this. No. Some of them were so upset that they made plan to kill Jesus Christ. And we learn in the Bible that after that incident, after that miracle, in that revolt against Jesus Christ, Jesus withdrew himself from the public ministry to spend time with his disciple. And in spending those time, precious time with his disciple, number one major message to them is, you know what? I'm going to die soon on the cross. The disciples were shocked. If just imagine yourself being among them in that original setting. Imagine that you have left everything for this man. You left your town. You left your work. You left your, many cases, your family, your friend, to follow him, thinking, well, you know what? All the miracle you have seen with him, well, this is just going to be fun forever. And all of a sudden, 3 years later, telling you, you know what, I'm going to die. What will be your feeling? What will be your attitude? And this is where Jesus will spend time alone with his disciples, encouraging them. And if you remember, we started, yes, with chapter 13, where he's telling them, love one another. Love each other. Loving God. Loving each other. Washing each other's feet. And then chapter 14, let your heart not be in trouble. You have trust in God, believe in me. I have many house, I have many room. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where he is comforting his disciples. No, this is not the end. Look beyond this trouble. When I finish making your room, I'll come and take you. Helping us to console us, to comfort us. And then, yes, chapter 14 again, and chapter 16, the Holy Spirit. You won't be orphaned. I will send the Holy Spirit to help you live for me, to worship me, to live for me on earth while you're still here before you go to heaven. Now, would all those be enough for people to say, yeah, okay, let me follow you? And this is where you can see the progression after telling them, yes, the other side want to hate you, but you respond in love. Yes, you're in trouble because I told you I'm leaving, but there's a place I'm preparing for you. That's hope for the future. And yes, while you're still here, you're not in heaven yet, I'm sending a helper to you. Now what? Everybody had to make a decision. Would you still stay with me? This is where we find ourselves in chapter 15. They say, remain in me. If you don't remain in me, you know what happened. And yes, this is where brothers and sisters see the vine and the branches. I am the true vine. He did not say, I am a vine. Only to tell you that you have many, many so-called prophets, many other religion people come. I'm the Savior, I'm this and that. In one sentence, see, I am the one who saved everyone. I am the one. I know political correctness makes us afraid to say this is the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. We don't want to offend the Muslim. We don't want to offend the Buddhist. We don't want to offend our neighbor who is so adamant in his or her faith.
But this is for you and for me. Jesus is speaking to you first. He's not saying this outside. He's saying this to you in the private, so that your faith can be stronger in him before you face outside. The problem for many of us today, we're even in the Christian church, we're starting to say, oh, no, he is not the true one. He is a one among others. Please, Jesus is speaking to you here. If you don't believe that he's the only one, guess what? Well, tomorrow you'll be Muslim, tomorrow you'll be other religion. And unfortunately, this is the case for many Christians. They're not strong, they're not rooted. They're going everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. In the end, they got confused. Let your faith be anchored in this, that he's the true one and my father is the gardener. And God is overseeing all this. And yes, brother and sister, see, I am the vine, you are the branches. You're connected to me. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Unfortunately, this is the case for many Christians. Not believing that he's the true one. Not believing that, you know what, since it's not the true one, you're trying to find another one somewhere else. In the end, brother and sister, you know what? You're thrown away. You're thrown away. I'll never forget, especially in Malian context. Mali is a majority Muslim country. The Christian number is small. And then you want to make your ladder up in the administration, in the political arena. Christians start to believe if you don't become a Muslim, you will never make it. You'll be sitting in the pew like this, with many Christians praying for them to succeed in their school, in their life. All of a sudden, oh, he has become a Muslim. All this because he wants to have a position. And in the end, what you see in their life, they abandon the true vine for the other vine, and the life is misery. Because you see, taking the case in Mali, coup d'etat after coup d'etat, and political arena is never stable. You abandon Jesus and his church for a president, a few year soldier have put chain on him and just put in jail, and all of a sudden, I've seen it. I remember one of the politicians, he was so high, and thankfully he kept his faith. Our church has preserved a special seat for him at the front. But when you come, you can't touch that seat because that's for him. Unfortunately, he's so busy. The chair was always empty. Everybody come and look at the chair. Ah, well, it's for a guy there, but he's not here. What do you do? You know, for me, a church leader, yes, we want to give dignity to the leaders, but to reserve a seat like this, it's always empty. But you know what happened in the end? One day, 91, I was in university there. Social uproar. Student strike. In the end, people are in the street. One of the first houses burned down was this brother's house. Burned down completely. He went from the big mansion to houses where there's no electricity. In the end, before he died, I remember he's standing up in front of a pulpit giving his testimony. Church, I'm so sorry. You gave me all the honor because of my position, but I was so busy I never came. But you know what? The best thing that happened to me was this uproar burning down my house, to realize that, you know what, this thing I was chasing around, I was chasing after, is never, never helpful. Only Jesus will last. I will never forget it. He gave that powerful testimony. The point is this, brother and sister, don't wait for your case, don't wait for that. Already.
Stay there. Believe in him that he is the one. And this is, you see, the illustration of a tree. I always put this kind of thing because this is apple tree, right? Because if I put shade tree here, you'll be lost, right? Have you ever seen a shade tree? So one day I'll put a shade tree there. Then you see, what is this?
But this is apple. What do you see here? What do you see here?
Let's take some time of lesson. What do you see here? We're in this classroom now. This is my style of preaching. You know that. My style is different, right?
So what do you see here on top?
Lots of apples.
A lot of apples. And where are the apples?
On the branches.
On the branches, right? How strong are these branches? How strong are they?
Strong enough to hold the apple.
But how big are they?
Tiny.
Tiny. You see that? But where is the strong of the tree? Where is it? Right there. Do you see fruit there?
No.
So is it the whole tree, if you look at it, this is the whole thing? This is it? Nothing else? Is there anything in the tree that you see?
The root.
Do you see it?
No.
You don't see it. You think, if you see natural, you think this is it. But the roots are hidden. And chances are when you dig it, the roots are spread all over the place, deeper and wider. And then on top, you have fruit. And those fruit are on small branches. But to get that fruit, it had to remain connected to the trunk, to the branches. Don't ever underestimate your faith in Jesus, no matter how big or strong, small it is, provided you are connected. That's where I have all been struck by what God does. Sometimes we think naturally, we want to have big faith. The trunk, it turns out sometimes the big one does not make the fruit itself. God in his wisdom has given that privilege to the small branches. The branches are very small compared to this. But the secret for the branches is this. You have to remain connected. And I pray that you understand this illustration. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm not a big pastor. I'm not a big prayer. I'm not this. I'm not that. It does not matter. What matters for you is like this small branch to remain connected. And in due time, in time, God will make surprise. If you look at this branch here, look at this branch here. How many fruit you see on this branch here? You see this one here? How many? And then you come to this one here. Two. So you can see even the branches, they don't care the same number. So the whole point is this, brother and sister, you see, a commentary for you from Louis. In much the same way, Jesus is our divine tree. And we are branches growing from him. I like that, from him. Connected from him. If our connection to him is damaged, then we are damaged too. Just as a branch cut away from a tree no longer grows or produces fruit, if we cut ourselves away from Jesus, we no longer grow or produce his fruit of love, kindness, joy, and peace. So, stay connected to Jesus, and you will stay nourished and able to produce a rich harvest of heavenly fruit. No matter what, you might look at yourself as a small branch, but the secret is to remain connected to Jesus Christ. In due time, in his wisdom, this is how he had designed it. And you know, to remain in Jesus, what the main purpose? Before we go to heaven, you remember again the progression in his speech to you. Yes, I'll be bringing you to heaven, but stay here. Your work is not finished yet.
I will give you a helper, the Holy Spirit. For what reason? To bear fruit for God's glory. To bear fruit for God's glory. Verse 2. That, you know, he cut off every branch in me that bear no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. When I read this, my heart starts to pump. You see, you bear fruit, but sometimes he still prunes you. The pruning is not easy. The pruning, you take something to cut something. The pruning is some sin in your life that needs to be cut off. The pruning is some relationship that's preventing you in your Christian faith to thrive. Sometimes, you know what, Joanna, you might love this person and that person, but for the sake of being more fruit for me, Joanna, I have to cut this person away from your life. You have to cut this relationship. I have to cut this habit away from you. I have to cut this sin addiction away from you. Therefore, brother and sister, the pruning will be part of your Christian faith. The pruning, all of it is hurt. But stay tight there. Because in the end, he wants to bring more fruit. I know sometimes in a relationship, all of a sudden someone disappears. You want to hold on to. You have no clue what God is doing. God might be pruning. And that's why I know I don't want to be big thinking, people come and go, people come and go. And scripture like this have helped me in my ministry. I want to love everybody as much as I can in God's grace. But I cannot hold on everybody, because God in his process is pruning all of us individually and collectively. Sometimes Zion had to be pruned. And I can be part of that pruning myself. For the sake for Zion to grow, you need to be put aside. Let me accept that. Because at the end of the day, it's for God's glory. It's not for my glory. It's not for your glory. As long as you understand that you individually, we collectively will all be going through the pruning process. But the pruning again had to do with things that are hindering us to be more fruitful. And therefore, as you and I think about it, in your personal life, what do you think should be pruned away from you so that you can be successful in God's eye? Think about that. We all have some pruning to be done. If some relationship is some habit, is some sinful life, what needs to be pruned away in your life so that you can be much fruitful? And yes, you see, you will bear much fruit. Verse 5. Guess what? Verse 8. That is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. You see this? In the same chapter, how many times you put in fruit? You are not in heaven yet. You are here. In all this mess, in all this hate, in all this thing, I'm going to be preparing a place for you. I will be giving you the Holy Spirit. And guess what? So that you can bear fruit of love and kindness to show that you are my disciple. How would you show to your family that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? How would you show to your workplace that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? How would you show us here that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? You can have cheap word, but your behavior in the end will show who you really are. And this is why you see the tree. If you have a lemon tree bearing mango, will start to, a lemon tree bearing mango, that'd be strange. We'll see that on CNN. It shouldn't be. A lemon tree should bear lemons. Therefore, the tree will show his identity through the fruit. And therefore, brothers and sisters, is your fruit God wants to see to show that you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ in this messy world? Yes. What are the fruit for Jesus Christ? The character of Jesus. You have heard this several times. I repeat it again because we need to understand this in our heart. Galatians chapter 5, 22, 23. I almost repeat this every Sunday. But it's very important for us. It's the fruit of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the character of Jesus Christ. Again, in the context where you're being hated. In a context where, at home, everywhere you are, the fact that you belong to Jesus Christ, people hate you. You know, some of you here probably grew up in a context where your parents are not Christian. And then to make it worry, you can say, oh, I'm going to be a pastor. Oh, my friend, what pastor are you talking about? Oh, to become a missionary. Well, you're a waste of money. We put all this money in you to become a doctor, to become an engineer. All of a sudden, you from all that you become a missionary or pastor. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's in the context of those things, inside, outside, when you are not being understood, that you need to show this fruit. And the thing about the apple tree we show out there, that apple tree, while you and I are sheltering in our very heated room in winter, that apple tree is still sitting there. When there's a hurricane, big wind, while we're going in the basement, that apple tree had no basement to go. You and I, when it's raining, we're running. That apple tree is standing there. And yet in due season, when that apple tree goes through winter, fall and everything, it still come up and give the fruit. And sometimes when I walk, I say, if I have a privilege to talk to that tree, how did you survive all these winters in the south and still give you fruit? Oh man, I will be having a fun time there. That's why I love, if you know me, I love going in the bush. If idea like this come to me, it become an inspiration. Brother and sister, you go through your winter, fall, all the season up and down. It's not easy. But like those apple trees, would you still give your fruit in spite of all the season going around you for the glory of God? And yes, that's why you need the Spirit, because you can't do it by yourself. The Spirit is needed. Without that Spirit, oh, no, you punch me, I punch you back. Without that Spirit, oh, no, you are not patient with me, I'm not patient with you. Therefore, individually, collectively, let's have those fruit of the Spirit that He gave us so that we're not orphaned. And guess what? Telling others about Jesus to make them His disciple. You see, you go to here, Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And guess what? And surely I am with you always, not sometime, always, to the very end of the age. Oh, what a blessing. This was after His resurrection. Matthew 28, you go to Matthew 28, it's like the last chapter. After His resurrection, He came out after death. He came out, you see, Jesus came and said, a dead person cannot move, you know that. A dead person cannot talk, but here He is. He came to them and He spoke to them. You and I are serving and worshiping the living God. And based on that, we can bear His fruit thanks to His Holy Spirit. And guess what? And boldly tell other people about Him, that He is the wine. He is the vine. He's not a, He is the vine. And how do I know? He bear His fruit in me, and He promised me what is waiting for me, and He's not a liar. And yes, preach that to the nation. It's not easy to share your faith with your family member. What God asks you to do, just live out your faith to them. Whether they're mean to you, you show them kindness. That speaks volume. That's the best evangelism you can get at home. When opportunity comes, just pray for them. Show kindness, show love. Family reunion, show up.
But don't ask to all of a sudden people, he's coming, he's going to be talking about his Jesus. Don't do it. Go slowly. Go slowly. Just show up, show kindness, and then you will see in due time some of them privately will start to ask you about your faith. Then share your faith. That's how it works. But sometimes in Brazil, you want to do evangelism. Every time you show, hey, Jesus, I don't like swearing. I always tell people, if your Christian faith is just because you don't like swearing, you're trying to control people. I would prefer to be in a group where everybody's swearing, but nobody hear me swearing. And they turn around. Why is it you don't swear? And just smile and say, you know what? Let my yes just be yes, my no be no, thanks to my Lord Jesus. I don't need to add swearing. But I have seen people, oh no, don't swear around me, I'm a Christian. That kind of evangelism, I run away from it. But let that swearing person come to you, why don't you swear? In that way, your food has been seen and has been tasted. Because he and she don't want to swear like you, but they can't hold it. And then when you tell them you give your life to Jesus and stick to your word or yes or no, I'm telling you, you have the best evangelism. At home, at work, at your school place, and anywhere. Because the reality is, this is not going to be like Mali. We put a microphone in the street. Come to Jesus. That's what we do in Africa. But if I call you, let's go and put a microphone in the street to preach. People will be running away. Oh, Pastor, we don't do that here. So therefore, in your cultural context, you have to be aware of your cultural context and how to do evangelism in that. This is where with fruit of spirit, don't be talking about Jesus Christ while possessing a lot of flaw in yourself, and just go slowly and with the assurance that he is with you. And yes, brothers and sisters, you know, Robert says this, the man who couldn't concentrate on the root system of his life is going to bear fruit upward. But if he concentrates on the eye-appealing foliage, he may end up a rootless failure. You understand this? The tree will show you. If you concentrate only on the upside, guess what? You'll be a failure. So the point is in the last part of the sermon is how do you bear fruit remaining in Jesus Christ? What do you need to concentrate on to bear fruit? In the first part of the sermon, I was trying to show you why to remain in Jesus. The why is to bear fruit. And now this last part in a few minutes is how to remain in him. The how is, yes, the man who concentrates on the root system of his life is going to bear fruit. This is where I'm going to, the last minute we have, to help you how to concentrate on the root system of your life so that you can bear the fruit upward. You see, number one, God's word. God, there's no secrecy about it. There's a magic. No. For all of us, pastor, non-pastor, the secret is God's word. If you remain in me and my word remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Number one is God's word. God's word is the word of promises. God's word is a word of prevention. You see, on 401, when they put the speed limit is what? 401, 100 kilometers, right? It's not to prevent you from driving. They're warning you. If you go beyond this, you may run into accident, hurt yourself, and hurt other people. It's not to put a limitation on you. God's word full of his promises of blessing. God's word full of his warning. Don't do this. You might see, you don't see it, but you run into trouble. Brothers and sisters, this is how you need to take God's word. And this is why, at the end in the Revelation, God gave a warning. Don't take away anything from this or don't add anything to it. By taking away something from God's word, you're taking away God's blessing from many people. When you take away so many things from God's word, believe me,
you are taking away so many blessings from your own life. And then by taking away something from it, guess what? I'm telling you, you're taking away warning that will save your life. And this is why, be a lover of God's word. You are blessed in a country where it has so many kind of Bible. It's not a, I tell people, there's no need, oh, I'm trying to read the whole Bible in 1 year. Yes, if you can do it, do it. But when you finish reading in 1 year, are you going to put it aside and never read it again? No. This thing is a daily food. Try just one verse a day will be enough for you to try to understand what you're reading. But brother and sister, this is the key for you. God will. I know we're all busy, but this is the root system that you need to focus on. And yes, Jesus love. The essence, the fruit that defines everything in Christianity, in your Christian faith, is love. Unconditional love. Agape love. You see, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Love you. You know what? Now remain in my love. It did not say, remain in my hate. After his word, he's taking you to love everyone. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor like yourself. Oh, brother, my sister, nothing wrong with this. Love is needed today in our society and our families. Because of lack of love, people are falling apart. People are killing each other. Now, I cannot prevent someone to kill me. I cannot. But one thing I know, thanks to God's word and thanks to his love in my heart, I'm glad with God's grace in his spirit that I will never kill anyone. That's the best. That's my joy. I cannot prevent someone in the street. Blah, blah, blah. It can happen. You fall down in the wrong place in the wrong time. But one thing I know, by God's grace, it could be by accident. I ran into a woman. It happened. But not purposely that I'll do that. And my prayer is, let God's word and his love so anchor in your heart that you be the same. And by doing so, you have blessed the world already before you're in heaven. This is why it's so important. This is needed in your family. It's needed everywhere you go. And guess what? Obedient to God's word. Keep my commandment. I have kept my Father's commandment. It's not good just to have head knowledge. There are people can quote the Bible from cover to cover, but their behavior completely false. And that's why the Bible tell us, you know God's word good for you. Even Satan does too. Satan also knows scripture. When Jesus was tempted, Satan was quoting scripture, but ill applied. So it's not just you can quote the Bible, you impress people. It's not about impressing people what you know. It's impacting people through God's word, through his love and his spirit. And yes, brothers and sisters, prayer. You see, John 15:7, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's prayer. And guess what? Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Very important. Your prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know why in the end we say in Jesus' name we say amen? It looks simple but very deep. Your name is your identity. Name stands for identity. Mine in Jesus' name is I pray in the identity, in the character of Jesus Christ. If I'm praying, oh, Lord, I don't like my wife. I want you to kill her. That's not in the name of Jesus Christ. That's in the name of Satan. Jesus, oh, I'm struggling with my wife, my spouse, my children. But Jesus, I love my children no matter who they are. I love my wife no matter who she is. I love my husband no matter who she is. The way I pray that you change me so that I can love my wife more like you, Jesus. In your name, yes, that in Jesus' name. Because you're praying according to his character. So when you say in the name of Jesus, it means in Jesus' character. And most of the time we think it's just simple word like this. And then we pray for wicked stuff. And it will never work. Therefore, brothers and sisters, as you pray, remember who is Jesus' character. What is love? What is kindness? What is goodness? And you pray accordingly to that character. That's why Christian faith is not easy. Because naturally we all want to be vengeful. Naturally we all want to fight back, even in our prayer. But you know, Lord, it's not easy. But with your spirit, I still want you to show kindness to him or to her. That and when you do, the Father will give it to you. He will give it to you. You know what he does? He will change you to be like him. Because normally, this is not me. Normally, I will be praying to Christ them. But you know what? What you gave me here, you have transformed me into your likeness to be my disciple. And yes, brothers and sisters, you see, two things for you. What can take people, branch away from the tree, from the vine? Two things, temptation. Temptation tests our love for Jesus Christ. When you say every branch that is cut off, usually it's temptation that cut us off from Jesus. You see, Satan came to Jesus, Matthew 4:8-10. Again, the devil took him, Jesus, to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their splendor. And all this I'll give you. He said, if you bow down and worship me, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. Temptation is to make you love the world more than Jesus Christ. Temptation is to make you love sin. You think there's a pleasure in it. Oh, Jesus, I love you, but at this moment, I want to make more money. It will help you more than you. You're very slow, Jesus. You promised to give, but I don't see it. Temptation's always about something you love. A so-called love, and yet very destructive. It kills you. That what happened to Jesus. Jesus said, away from me, I'll remain with my Father. The same. When temptation comes to you, the appeal to your flesh, the appeal to your heart, the appeal thing to say, Jesus, I love you, but I'd like to have relationships with this girl, this lady. I want to have more money that I should not ever have. I want to steal. Jesus is enough. I can't do it. Holy Spirit, help me to remain in touch with you in spite of all this temptation. And then lastly, what do you have? Your trial. Trial tests our trust in Jesus. Take Job chapter 1, verse 18-22. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughter were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground in worship. You see, in temptation, Jesus called for worship. Worship him alone. In trial here, Job worshiped who? The only God that he knows. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised in all these trials, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. It's not easy. Understand the trust. God, you said you will be with me. And now I lost all my children. How can I trust you anymore? That's why trial always tests your trust. Can I still trust this God? Well, he has taken away my sons, my daughter. Can I still trust this God who has taken away my job? But in temptation, can I still love this God more than this thing, more than that person? Because in the end, to remain connected to Jesus, you need two main things, to love Jesus and to trust him. When that love and trust are taken away, your branch is cut off. Therefore, as you leave this place, two things I'm asking the Lord to help you and me. That your love for Christ will go deeper and wider like the roots through his word, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, through obeying. And then your trust will be as stronger as those things. So that when temptation and war and trial come through his Spirit, that you will still be worshiping the only one God, Jesus Christ. And by doing so, your fruit will be so vivid to glorify God and give testimony to other people to follow you, to follow Jesus Christ. God bless you in the journey. That when everything is said and done, that yes, the best celebration is waiting for us in heaven. But on this planet Earth, temptation, trial will always try to cut it off. But may God give you his word and his Spirit to overcome them. In his name, amen.